This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a sign to start that summer home refresh finally? Look no further than Blinds.com. Early access to Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale is happening now. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, and no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com makes it easy. Our virtual design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for total convenience, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop early access to Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale now. Save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This podcast is brought to you by The Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to The Village of Bedford Park.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03 on Thursday afternoon, June 19th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rob Hart. Chefs in Chicago are looking at casinos for growth opportunities. We'll cover that in our next segment. But first, new grads face major transitions as they learn to navigate job interviews, manage student loans, and launch strong careers while staying financially smart. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park Business Line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Ed Jurtzen, certified financial planner and founder of the Engage Wealth Group in Chicago. That website, engagewealthgroup.com. Ed, thank you for joining us today. And my graduation day in college was 23 years ago, if I have the math correct. And if I have the math incorrect, Ed, I think I have to go back to Marquette for a refresher. But the thing that struck me the most about that Monday after graduation was that this was the first time in my life in which I had no structured educational time, and that goes all the way back to preschool, and that extends for graduates today as well. You are truly walking into a very new world when you are a newly minted college graduate, and that can be very intimidating.
Yeah, Rob, this is a great topic because so many kids are going through the graduation process and seeking out their first job. And with that comes the welcome to adulthood sort of conversation. And so we get really excited when young people reach out to us or we're guiding our clients' kids in terms of their first job, because getting this right out of the start can have huge, profound effects financially over the long run. So again, focusing on getting things right out of the gate is a really important element.
Well, let's just start at where people are at the gate. I mean, there are some people who do have a post-graduation job lined up already. There are some people who are taking maybe a gap year before they decide to go to grad school. And then there are some people who are in the process of looking for that job right now. Let's tackle the third category first. And that is, you've done everything. You've done all the networking. You're on LinkedIn. You got your name out there in the world, but you're still having a hard time getting fish to bite. What can you do in that situation?
Yeah, putting yourself in the best light possible, because again, while people are able to retain their jobs in today's environment, we're seeing news headlines tell us that new grads are having a challenge getting a job. So if you get that first job, it may not be your most ideal job, but get a job, right? Figure out a way to get into an organ, to get into a structure, to get into your industry first and foremost. Again, it may not be the most ideal or the best benefits, but at least get that started. So you may have to compromise a little bit in terms of what your ideal is to get a job. The counter to that is some folks are like, no, don't compromise, go after your main job. So again, this all is predicated on your own financial situation and what you're doing now.
And really, the job that you may have to just bridge the gap until you start your career, the bottom line is, money is money. And you have debts, and if you have student loans, the person receiving that student loan payment is not going to necessarily discriminate between money earned as part of a job and money earned as part of the career you're trying to get as a result of your education.
Yeah, so let's talk about student loans first and foremost. Seeking really good advice, because student loans are really complicated. It was one of the only ways I was able to put myself through school, but there are so many different nuances to student loans. And so what we see is some students look to really quickly reschedule their loans or to get their student loans and to reformat. Geez, Rob, the words are losing me. So and so what they're looking at is they go from federal loans to private loans. And the guidance I can give people is be very, very careful of that, because there's a lot of great nuances within the federal loan system. And seeking out good advice, especially before you consolidate your loans, is really important. So be very thoughtful about moving student loans off of a federal program over into a private program.
Ed Jertsen, certified financial planner, founder of the Engage Wealth Group in Chicago. Find him online at engagewealthgroup.com. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up, casinos are becoming hotspots for upgraded restaurant experiences. We'll talk about that next.
Because money matters. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Chicago chefs are betting big on casinos, opening restaurants in Joliet, Aurora, and beyond to reach new customers and to create fresh revenue streams. Joining us to discuss this trend is Izzy Karish, president of Hospitality Works, a.k.a. the Restaurant Coach in Chicago. Izzy, thank you for joining us today. And this seems like the extension of a trend we have seen for decades in Las Vegas, because if you go out to Vegas and you spend some time at hotels on the Strip, you can find restaurants from Wolfgang Puck or Emeril Lagasse or from Martha Stewart. Any number of celebrity chefs have set up shop in Las Vegas, and that is one way for the average American to sample the fare from chefs they may have just seen on TV.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is a it's not just a trend in Las Vegas. It has been, as you said, I consider Las Vegas to be the, food capital of the world. Every great chef from around the world is in Las Vegas, and the casinos in Illinois are going to try to start emulating that right here in the Chicago area.
And this is as a result of changes in gaming legislation in the state of Illinois that finally allow for land-based casinos, opening up new casino licenses, maybe putting a fine dining establishment on a riverboat. Back in the riverboat gambling days may have been not as feasible. But once you have a big land-based casino that looks like something out of Las Vegas, all of a sudden Stephanie Izard wants to set up an establishment, or Fabio Viviani. And it's a way to bring their food to people who may not be able to make it to Logan Square or downtown Chicago.
Absolutely. And, in the casinos, casinos certainly don't put things in the casino that aren't winners. And putting in, a Stephanie Izard, that type of restaurant, it helps the casino in a number of ways. It upgrades the experience for the regular gamer who's at the casino often. Now it gives them another option. It gives the casino another option to, take a good player and comp a meal at an incredible restaurant. The other win for the casino is a lot of people who aren't naturally gamblers who say, well, I'm going to go to that new restaurant. I hear it's fantastic and it's in the casino. They go, they have a great time at the restaurant, and guess what? On their way out the door, you know what? I'm just going to put a little bit of money in a slot machine. So it really does work both ways. It brings people into the casino who normally would not have gone there, and it keeps people in the casino, which is the biggest thing for the casino. They want players to enjoy a great meal and get back to the games. So it is good. We'll see how it goes. I mean, to take, as you say, a little piece of Las Vegas and bring it home.
Now, what is the financial arrangement for the chef typically? Because obviously, if you put the restaurant in the casino, as we talked about before, this is a way of putting your food and your establishment and your brand in front of an entirely different audience and making it a little more accessible. But does the casino also pay the chef to put the establishment in the building in the first place?
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways that the casino and chefs make these things work. Sometimes it's with a licensing deal where they get to use the chef's name and recipes and, you know, some involvement. You know, sometimes it's a lease deal. Sometimes it's, you know, it's something else. But again, it's going to benefit the chef. They'll certainly make money. It could be a change for the model, the labor model for the chef, because typically in Chicago, these independent restaurants don't have to have union labor. But once you put your restaurant in a casino, well, that's a game changer, because those employees that work in the casino are union employees. So there's a lot of different things that are going to happen with those restaurants and kind of in the background that this typical customer doesn't think about. But certainly it's going to be a win-win for the chef and for the casino.
Izzy Karish, president of Hospitality Works, a.k.a. the restaurant coach in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today.
Your best stock option. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Oil futures are higher on a report that the U.S. may strike Iran. Joining us to discuss the impact on what you will pay at the pump is Phil Flynn, senior market analyst with the Price Group and Fox Business News contributor in Chicago. Phil, thank you for joining us today. And at last check, the price of oil, the price per barrel was around $77 per barrel, which is about 3% higher. But compared to previous international crises, how does this stack up with the past?
Well, it hasn't spiked as much as it did, for example, during the Russian-Ukraine conflict, right? But I have to warn people, it's very early, right? So we're just getting this the news day to day, and the market is still in kind of shock right now. They don't know how this is going to play out. But we do know that already that gasoline prices are edging up. The biggest concern I have, Rob, is diesel prices, because those prices are exploding, because there's a real concern that if we lose Iranian oil, or if the major transport route, the Strait of Hormuz, gets shut in, there's not enough refining capacity to make up for the loss of diesel. So if you're a truck driver, I'd be more concerned than I would be if I was driving in a regular car right now.
Now, for those of us who may not be familiar with just how the flow of oil operates in the world, does the U.S. get oil from Iran directly, or is this just a case of disruption in supply of Iranian oil just into the worldwide marketplace affects Americans indirectly?
It's indirectly. It really is. It's kind of like your traffic report right now, right? If the one artery goes down, the other roads pay the price as well. It spreads. And then you get into more of the quality of oils, right? There's certain parts of the world that prefer heavier oil or lighter oil. And Iranian oil is really, you know, being coveted right now by China, and China takes that oil and exports it to Europe, believe it or not, selling it as product. And if you don't get that oil, you're losing that product, and that creates this panic buying situation that we're seeing in the diesel market right now, and to a lesser extent, gasoline and oil.
And then very quickly, when it comes to just the impact of international events on the price of oil, we used to see very pronounced swings in response to international events, but it seems like production patterns and consumption patterns have changed that might, to such a degree that it might smooth off some of the rough edges when you do have an international crisis, especially in the Middle East.
Exactly. I mean, this isn't the 1970s anymore, right? Like the Arab oil embargo, when we saw prices just absolutely explode. And a lot of that, of course, is because of the U.S. energy producer. You know, the shale revolution, the U.S. is producing a record amount of oil, and that's easing these concerns. But it doesn't totally disrupt the fact that if this situation gets out of control, that it could have a major impact on the economy. And if we do see a major disruption in the Middle East, it's very possible we could see an impact, a negative impact on the economy. So it's still a real risk. And that's why we have to watch this situation very carefully.
And then right now we have Iran and Israel attacking each other. If the U.S. becomes involved in this conflict, how does that change in a profound way the international oil market?
It really depends. I mean, it could end it very quickly or it could escalate, right? I mean, in one point, you would assume that if the U.S. got involved, this could be over very quickly. They have incredible technology. They could hit the nuclear sites very easily. They have the ability, at least according to President Trump, to take out most of the Iranian leadership. So it could end quickly and oil prices could come back down. On the flip side of that, the risk is that Iran and their proxies may go to a scorched earth policy if they lose, right? They might blow up the refineries. They might, you know, set fires to the oil well, similar to what Saddam Hussein did when he left Kuwait. So that's the other risk. And of course, the Strait of Hormuz, that could be a wild card. Iran and their proxies could try to mine it. They could try to blow it up. That would be a big problem in the short term. You know, over time, they can work around that. But in the short term, it would mean a potential big spike in prices.
Phil Flynn, senior market analyst with the Price Group and Fox Business News contributor based in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today on the Noon Business Hour. Coming up next, an update on the invasion of the robots in multiple aspects of your life.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for a sign to start that summer home refresh finally? Look no further than Blinds.com. Early access to Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale is happening now. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, and no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com makes it easy. Our virtual design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for total convenience, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop early access to Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale now. Save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart. The markets are closed for the Juneteenth holiday, but there's still plenty to discuss when it comes to financial markets and the economy. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Sam Stovall, Chief Investment Strategist with CFRA Research in Allentown, Pennsylvania. Sam, thank you for joining us today. And the day off for the Juneteenth holiday gives investors and traders a little bit more time to digest and maybe have second or third thoughts about what Fed Chair Jerome Powell had to say yesterday in his policy statement and news conference after the Fed said they were going to hold interest rates steady once again. And what are some of your takeaways from yesterday's Fed news conference?
Hello, Rob. Good to talk to you again. Well, I was not surprised to hear that uncertainty remains the overriding factor that's affecting policy, meaning that they really just don't know what to do right now. And as a result, they decided to maintain their position, which is to do nothing at this point. They did say, however, that they continue to believe that they will cut interest rates twice this year. We believe it'll take place at the September meeting and then once again at the December meeting. But I think what really caused a bit of concern for investors was they actually used the words stagflation, where inflation is on the rise while GDP growth is on the descent. So that happened back in the 1970s, which did not end up being a good decade for stocks.
And then when it comes to the calculus about cutting interest rates, what, you know, we've heard data dependent. That has been the phrases that pay, Sam, since 2022, when the first interest rate hikes were introduced as inflation was taking off. But what specific numbers are they looking at? Are they looking at economic activity? Are they looking like GDP? Are they looking at the employment market, or are they looking at the availability of credit?
They have a dual mandate, meaning that they need to keep the unemployment rate low, but keep growth in the economy at around 2% or more. So good economic growth and a manageable unemployment rate. So they're going to be looking at the unemployment rate. They're going to be looking at consumer confidence, since consumers represent a good 70% of our U.S. economy. They're going to be looking at the industrial production, which is the output of all factories, mines, utilities. So there are a variety of things that they will be looking at, not only in terms of factory type of output, but also services, since the U.S. is very much a service-oriented economy. So unfortunately, the National Bureau of Economic Research typically takes about 7 months before deciding that the speed bump we hit a few months back was the beginning of a recession. So the Fed, as well as the economists who indicate a recession, usually are very slow on the uptake.
And then very quickly, when it comes to economic activity, it seems like there is a complicating factor. Well, it's not complicating if you're a beneficiary of it, but it's certainly a complicating factor from a macroeconomic standpoint. And that is you have millions of homeowners who have 3% or 2% mortgages who watch the value of their home go up by a great deal over the past 5 years. And they can continue to draw upon that home equity to continue spending. So for millions of people, they have a shield against an economic slowdown. And how does that change the calculus for the Fed?
Well, it makes it a little more challenging, because individuals are not changing their homes, and they're also not changing or upgrading their furniture, and they're not making bigger ticket item purchases, but rather are just doing home improvement. At the same time, if they do tap into their home equity too much, then they're going to be over leveraged, and that could end up being a challenge when they have to pay back those loans at higher rates.
Sam Stovall, Chief Investment Strategist, CFRA Research in Allentown, Pennsylvania. Thank you for joining us today.
It's lunch money for all generations. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's Technology Thursday. Robots are coming in a big way. A new report estimates 2 million humanoid robots will be on the job within a decade and 300 million by 2050. Joining us to discuss is RJ Hadavi, Head of Analytical Research at the foot traffic analysis firm Placer AI in Chicago. RJ, thank you for joining us today. And the idea of hundreds of millions of robot helpers has been such a part of culture for such a long time. It's going to be kind of jarring to see it take the turn from the Jetsons to real life.
Yeah, I think you're right. And it's still a big question how quickly all these robot workers can be implemented. I mean, I think at this point, you and I have been talking about potential robot workers in the restaurant space for at least a decade. And yet we still are at a point where they're very rarely are seen in real life. But the reason why people are doing this or looking into these technologies is obvious. It's getting more expensive to hire people and really keep that consistency. Bringing people in and, you know, maintaining that level of service at restaurants or even manufacturing facilities, it's difficult. And so there are always people looking for other lower cost alternatives, more reliable, more consistent. So I think it makes sense that we see a lot about this, but the reality is it's still very difficult to implement at scale. It can be very costly. There's still a lot of maintenance that's required for this. So it'll be interesting to see how quickly these new robot workers are rolled out.
Now, obviously, the first thought people have when you talk about hundreds of millions of robot workers being on the job potentially by the middle of this century is that it's going to create a great deal of economic displacement. However, RJ, and I'm sure you watched this debate go on as well. About a decade ago, remember the fight for the $15 minimum wage, and you would see people posting pictures of order kiosks at quick service restaurants to social media saying, well, see, if you keep demanding higher wages as a fast food worker, these kiosks are going to replace you. And flash forward 10 years, the kiosks are there, the same workers are there, and now they're making $25 an hour. So you have technology introduced, but it's not disruptive. It just makes the restaurant more efficient.
Yeah, and that is an argument. I think that a lot of the technologies that are out there are designed to make it more streamlined for the operators themselves, trying to get, you know, people through the line more quickly, being able to facilitate more orders, particularly peak hours. And so there's a lot of argument to that. And the restaurants have been making the arguments for some time now that, you know, by doing this, they shift a lot of the more mundane, the more remedial processes to the robotic and digital technologies that are out there, and it frees up more time to, you know, for your employees to make the experience more rewarding, to be able to interact with customers, to make that, to really instill that sense of brand loyalty and things like that. So there's pros and cons. There's arguments on both sides of this in terms of, you know, will this replace labor? And probably over, if we look over a multi-decade period, certainly there is that opportunity and that risk for workers. But in the near term, I think that right now the technologies are meant to work alongside the employees in the stores.
And already there are millions of robots on the job. They help assemble cars. They work in warehouses. They're developing artificial intelligence capabilities, so they can make decisions on the fly and adjust to conditions as they exist in the factory or in the warehouse. But there is going to be a big psychological turn, RJ, when all of a sudden the humanoid robot is in your home and taking care of an elderly relative or serving as an assistant in your house?
Yeah, I think that's it's a great question to bring up, Rob. And I think that's going to be ultimately one of the more challenging aspects. Is it's one thing to have these in manufacturing facilities, which, you know, most consumers are not, you know, on the floors on a day-to-day basis. But, you know, bringing these type of, you know, technologies and machine workers into home, that could be, you know, a big hurdle for a lot of consumers, a lot of individuals to overcome. And so that is probably one of the later adoption technologies that I would imagine in this case. It could be very difficult for consumers to see that. But, you know, one of these things is when they do start to work, when these technologies do start to work and, you know, at a cost-effective way, they do tend to get adopted pretty quickly. So it'll be interesting to see over the next 5, 10, 20 years, how quickly these technologies are adopted.
RJ Hadavi, head of analytical research at the foot traffic analysis firm Placer AI. Thank you for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. Join us at this time tomorrow for Entrepreneur Friday. And still to come, the latest push to bring autonomous cars into the mainstream.
Cash, credit, debit, and totally free. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Technology Thursday continues. We've been talking about autonomous cars on the Noon Business Hour for nearly 20 years. I've been on the show for 9 years. And autonomous vehicles always seemed like they were just around the corner for 5 or 6 years in a row. But this may finally be their breakout year. We welcome in John McElroy, automotive industry analyst and host of Autoline.tv in Detroit, Michigan. John, thank you for joining us today. And this is a process that really has been years in the making. I'm not joking. This is the infrastructure has been in place for several decades. Silicon Valley all set up offices in Detroit to work side by side with the big three on developing the tech for self-driving cars, and you're seeing them more and more, especially in San Francisco.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Rob. You know, it was about a decade ago, everybody thought, oh yeah, in 5 years, around 2020, autonomous vehicles would be everywhere. And that's because the rate of progress back then was so astounding, they just extrapolated out and figured, hey, we'd be there by 2020. It turned out to be a lot harder than they thought. But to your point, this may turn out to be the year of the autonomous car. Not that you're going to be able to buy them in showrooms. That's at least another decade away. But there's a number of services, Waymo being the most famous. It's part of Google. And as you pointed out, it's in San Francisco, but it's been operating in Phoenix for years. They've just expanded into Los Angeles. They're going into Miami and Austin. Zoox is another autonomous car riding service that is owned by Amazon. They're probably going to be operating in, they're testing in Las Vegas right now. They're probably going to go operational. Just now today, they announced they're going to start building their vehicles. Then there's another one called Aurora that's based out of Pittsburgh that is going to be autonomous for Class 8 semi-trucks doing long-haul stuff. And then, of course, Tesla wants to jump into the game. It's going to supposedly start testing in Austin. It was supposed to be this month. That might get pushed back another couple of months because of the Texas legislature asked them to do so.
And now Waymo is filing the paperwork to begin operations in New York City. And even though Waymo has been operating successfully in a number of cities out west, how is this going to change the perception of Waymo now that the people who work in the media capital of the world will be able to call upon a Waymo to take them somewhere else in Manhattan?
Yeah, look, as soon as they start operating in New York, all kinds of people are going to want to get on board just to see what it's like. It's been wildly successful in Phoenix, for example. And so I think once these cars go operational in New York City, you're going to see the public become much more aware of them. And I think a lot of the skepticism about it is going to start to go down as well.
And then very quickly, how challenging of a driving environment is New York City compared to San Francisco? I mean, San Francisco has the steep hills and the very narrow streets, but how can you put the Waymo through its paces when it's trying to dodge people who are walking here?
Yeah, right. Look, I think probably from a technological challenge, San Francisco may be the toughest. And New York, obviously a very tough environment. You also get into cold weather, a lot more inclement weather during the winter, snow, slush, and that sort of thing. But look, Waymo wouldn't be going in there if it didn't think it could pull this off.
John McElroy, automotive industry analyst and host of Autoline.tv. Thanks for joining us today on the Noon Business Hour.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a sign to start that summer home refresh finally? Look no further than Blinds.com. Early access to Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale is happening now. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, and no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com makes it easy. Our virtual design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for total convenience, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop early access to Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale now. Save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand. Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.